Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM and 101.1 FM. Civic media, statewide folks. We're always trying to keep this state moving forward and trying to not get like lost in the history. But tonight I'm honored to have back the Reverend Greg Lewis, the Executive Director of Souls to the Polls. Hello, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. So just jump in here. Remind folks, what is Souls to the Polls?
You know, we're a community-based organization that is certainly focused on helping people understand power and the position and responsibilities that community is really in right now, having the power to make decisions for themselves. And we do everything voting, education, we do information, we help folks understand dates, times, places, when, where, what, all those things we do. And if you go to our website, Souls to the Polls, WI, Souls to the Polls, Wisconsin, Souls to the Polls, WI.org, you will certainly get all the information you need to help you get your vote in a timely manner, early, or even by absentee ballot.
Yeah, we'll get into more of that. I know you're out of Milwaukee, but Souls to the Polls is more than just Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, we're Souls to the Polls, Wisconsin now, and so we like to travel all over the state, you know, helping folks organize to make sure that they have as much as they need to get people to come out and express themselves with their ability to make decisions through their votes.
So the we recently had new maps for the state elections coming up in November. And I know that you and Souls to the Polls have been active in getting those new maps. How do you see, with the new maps in place, what's sort of the goal of Souls to the Polls in November?
Well, actually, you know, the maps, everybody didn't get exactly what they wanted, but it was a step in the right direction. I mean, you know, this is always going to be a fight trying to make politics fair with Republicans and Democrats really fighting tooth and nail for power. And what can't be missed is the responsibility for them to look after those of us who put them in office. And a lot of times we just have to deal with the scorched earth politics where they'll burn up anything, they'll destroy anything just to stay in power. And right now the power just happens to be in one hand. And those maps were put in place to alleviate some of the one-sidedness that was going on in our state legislature right now.
Yeah, they were pretty gerrymandered. They were pretty, they were pretty rigged, straight up hard right Republicans. So there was really not much democracy or not much chance for regular folks to get anything passed. And
Madison. I didn't know I could talk like that on this show, man.
We're talking facts and we're here to, you know, look at my father was a preacher. You're a pastor. So this is time for the truth, not fake news. Right.
No, not at all.
Right. So the,
we just have to be a little careful with that 501c3 designation, you know,
Black
man. No, I mean, we can always talk about issues, but you know.
No, and I can, you know, I sit on the Wisconsin Election Commission, but I'm in a partisan appointee, so this is my opinion, and I understand
Yes, sir.
This is not the official position is souls to the polls, but as a community organization that is concerned with democracy, do you see a sense that with these new maps and activity on the ground, do you see that there's hope for change in November?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mark, there was some paths to change even without these new maps. So I know there's going to be paths for change with these new maps, with the maps that were put in place right now. But people have to understand and get out and vote. You have to really, you know, put your ear to the ground and try to understand what's going on here. When you have folks who are really not really paying attention, they just go along just to get along, you know, that creates what we have right now, where those maps were even put in place. Look, we've had, you know, even way back Act 10, where, you know, they took all these rights from the unions to really, you know, raise money and organize themselves for good paying jobs. You know, since then, with this photo ID situation and all that, things have really changed when it comes to voting in Wisconsin. I remember when you had to go to class for about 3 or 4 days and become a registrar. And now they ask everybody to do that on their own. It's getting a lot more frustrating and difficult just to vote. I always say, look, man, it ought to be easy to vote. I mean, it ought to be so simple to vote that I ought to be able to go to McDonald's, get a Big Mac. Hey, man, give me one of those ballots over there. Go eat with my family, fill out my ballot, drop it in the drop box. Somebody come back later, pick this ballot up. And now I've comfortably voted. I'm sitting back and, you know, things are, you know, very, very family-like and cordial, and I'm not upset. I just want to cast a ballot. That's how easy it should be, but it's not. So, you know, we have to fight so that we don't have all this difficulty and just getting out a simple vote, man. I mean, that's our right. In the Netherlands, when you're born, you're registered to vote. And if you don't vote by the time when you're 18, if you don't vote, you get a ticket. I mean, we're just the opposite. You know, man, if you vote, you might get a ticket. I mean, but see, and here's the other thing too, Mark, and I just want to put this out there. Wisconsin is very, very convenient for folks to register on the day of the election, because it's a lot easier to go in there, have your photo ID and proof of residency, and then they take care of all the business by registering you to vote. And you can do that early, and that is such a great relief. You know, I go in there, I'm not pressured to get this done right now, and the polls don't close at 8. They don't close till next week. If I have to go back home, I can make sure that I get everything I need to do that. So early voting is crucial, especially in communities of color. And, you know, that absentee ballot is crucial. And you got to make sure when you fill those ballots out that you're very careful, because now they don't like people to help you at all when people are having difficulties with those absentee ballots. So, you know, we make it harder for folks to vote. And why is that, Mark? Can you tell me why is it that we make it harder for folks to vote? But let me give you an idea what I think. I just think that people in power don't want us normal, everyday people to have any power, because they want to make a decision about our lives and they don't want us to have any input at all, because they tend to believe that they know what's best for all of us and not for all of us to have people in place who do what is best for the majority, for the most, for us who, you know, put them in position. So, but yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the dates for votes. You said that's really important, right? We have August 13th is coming up, the primary statewide, right?
Yes.
And then we have the big election November 5th for all the assembly and half the Senate, the state. and, you know, the president, the vice president of the United States, and our senators and congressmen. When you're around the state, whether it's in Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, wherever, what is working to get people out to register and vote? What do you find that's really working?
You know, that's a difficult question, Mark, because it's always been kind of difficult to get, you know, black and brown communities out to vote. And somehow you have to find out what issues really matter to them. And we know that a couple of issues that really matter, one is housing. So we do that year round, Mark. We talk about housing, we talk about home ownership and those kind of things, because we want to build a block of people who are working together. So that's one thing we try to do. We talk about housing. And then we try to talk about other issues like, you know, the crime and incarceration rates in our communities, and certainly education, which is huge now, especially in Milwaukee. We really have a obligation to really work on this situation with education, because, you know, Milwaukee public schools are predominantly people of color, and the work that's being done to educate our young people has not shown a great deal of progress or success in these later years. And I don't know what the situation ought to be, but I know what it is when you have folks running for office and they come to see you and they tell you that only 20% of 12th grade students are reading on grade level. And that's a disaster.
Pastor Lewis?
Yes.
This is the Reverend Greg Lewis. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson at your favorite WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM, Civic Media Radio statewide. I'm honored and privileged to have with us the Reverend Greg Lewis, Executive Director of Souls of the Polls. And we're wrestling with the very, very sticky issue of how do you go out and get people to vote when historically politicians haven't been responsive to the needs of the people, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? So when moneyed interests get attention, but folks don't, and you know, we were talking about MPS, Milwaukee Public Schools. I live in the city. My kids went to MPS. You know, my wife was a teacher and a principal, and she was the principal at the Milwaukee School of Languages, a very, very diverse place where, you know, kids of all colors got educated well together. And she's been out of the system for a while, but she left right after Act 10. And that was when the state government really started shutting down and providing money to public education and public schools. And so Milwaukee took a major, major hit. Another thing that happened was the legislature passed, they changed the law, and so that the Milwaukee Public School Board no longer controlled the money, and that went to the superintendent. and the part-time school board folks didn't have direct access to the money. So we end up with this problem now where we have irresponsible conduct, bad funding, and we have kids at risk all at the same time while the public schools are getting, you know, destroyed. So how does this impact your efforts to get people excited about registering to vote and voting?
Well, Mark, you know, that's just another symptom of people not seeing our leaders working for their self-interest. I mean, you know, and right now we have to be really careful and patient, sophisticated, and in a lot of ways, looking forward instead of looking back, because things have not been good lately, you know, with the reversal of a lot of rights and laws, you know, especially with women. I mean, you know, it's, you know, once it starts raining, it starts pouring. And you got to really be careful not to let that continue. And the way you stop it is you put people in place who are going to look out for your interests. That just reminding folks of what's going on right now should certainly put them in the mindset to stop it. But I don't know what happened to our country. We just don't think the same anymore. We just let all kind of stuff happen to us, and we just let it happen. And we think that, well, if it hurts the next guy more than it hurts me, I can live with it. Huh? Why should it hurt any of us? We should be working together to make sure that we all advance the same direction. I mean, we're only as strong as our weakest link. People forget that. You know, if you have communities that are failing, what makes you think that that doesn't have some connotation on the rest of the communities, even in our state? I mean, if you have a Milwaukee that's flagellating, what makes you think that the state is not going to have some trouble with a city the size of Milwaukee having economic issues? That just doesn't make sense for you to even not consider that. So, you know, I just think that if we don't start to realize that we are our brother's keeper, you know, we have to look out for another. We have to stand together. And that's why we really wanted to go statewide, because, man, everybody in the state needs some kind of message that would help bring us together and help people see that we got the same issues, we got the same problems, and we need to be working together to resolve them. You know, we think that there's so much big difference in, you know, rural and urban America, but I tend to disagree. You know, we all need a voice. We all need somebody to help us to fend off these bullies who just come into our situations, run them the way they want to instead of the way they need to for their own self-interest. That needs to stop, but we have to stop that together. And we've been confused with the rhetoric that we hear from, you know, leadership, you know, trying to justify some of the awful things that are being attempted by our state legislation. I mean, just, you know, having the nerve to actually talk about not helping certain minorities, or, you know, not even having a empathy for other minorities. That just doesn't seem like Wisconsin to me, and things have changed, and Wisconsinites need to stand up and stick together and make sure that we correct all these issues that are really unjustified when it comes to the way our state is run.
I know one thing that the Souls of the Polls have always been concerned about is voter suppression.
Oh yeah.
So how do you see that playing out between now and August 13th, the primary? You know, we got a couple minutes here. What steps are you taking, right?
It's huge, Mark, and that's why we always have to make people aware of what voter suppression is, and we have to make them understand that it's not just one thing, Mark. It's a conglomerate of issues, man. Last year, you know, I was on the internet all the time. I found 62 obstacles, 62 voter suppression difficulties. And now this year is 72. So it's not stopping, it's getting worse. And, you know, it just unnerves the population of people that already had a question mark when it came to our United States of America, our democracy. Didn't trust it in the first place. And now when people add on to it with all these suppression bills and ideas, you know, it really frustrates the people. And it's not just Black folks either, Mark. It's our white brothers and sisters also. And that's what people miss. You know, it's all of us who are, you know, sick of it. We got voter fatigue because we just don't believe anybody's going to do anything worthwhile for us.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. You've been listening to the Reverend Greg Lewis, a pastor dedicated to justice, truth, and as you said, keeping us moving forward. Thank you so much, Pastor. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Thank you, Pastor. Hello, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Always moving the state forward. I'm really honored to have with me today a new face in terms of the political scene, I think. And in Milwaukee, a candidate that's running for the 19th seat, the assembly district. We have new maps, but this is a very, very healthy debate with two blue candidates. And so, Jared, who are you?
It's a good question, Mark. I'm Jared Anderson, as you said, candidate for the 19th assembly district seat. I'm a healthcare attorney here in town. I've worked for Common Ground Healthcare Cooperative for the last several years as in-house counsel and manager of government relations. And I live here in the 19th district, which runs from Edgewood Avenue up by UWM all the way down to the top part of Bayview. And it includes downtown, Summerfest, the lakefront. And I'm running to offer a more collaboration focused progressive face for this seat.
So, you know, before we jump into that, people haven't heard of Common Ground and its health plan. It came out was a new creation really focused on trying to provide health insurance for people, right?
Yeah.
So just tell folks, as a lawyer in Common Ground, what did you really do? I guess what did Common Ground really do that was unique in terms of providing health benefits?
Yeah, well, Common Ground was started because folks were pissed off about having, you know, limited options for health insurance. And so when the ACA passed back in 2012, there was a provision in there that allowed for this consumer-oriented and operated plan. COOP, consumer oriented operated plan. So it was an option for folks to create these co-ops and offer low cost, high value health insurance to folks who need it most. And so that was developed back in 2013. I think we sold our first plan in 2014, and it's been going great ever since. This is the largest, now the largest ACA plan on this side of the state. And we continue to be one of the largest providers of individual health insurance on the federally facilitated marketplace here in Wisconsin.
You know, and I know from just checking out a little bit of, you know, on the internet and what you're like focused on in the this debate between two Democratic candidates for this very important seat in 19th. Full disclosure, folks, this is my district, and I'm going to vote for this person I'm talking to. But so we'll get that out of the way.
Yeah, there we go. But, established, Mark.
But so, yeah, let's not, you know, this is on the, I believe in transparency. So, but the expansion of Badger Care, how important is that to people and human beings?
I think it's crucial. Now, let's be clear. There is no coverage gap in Wisconsin. And when I say coverage gap, what I mean is that wherever subsidies end for an individual health plan, that is the percent of federal poverty level, FPL, where Badger Care or our Medicaid plan begins, which means that to the extent you're looking for subsidized health insurance, or if you are a member of, you know, a class where you are, you know, your percentage of federal poverty level is such that you're entitled to subsidized health insurance, there's no gap, right? There's no place where you are not getting some sort of assistance. Now, the reason we need to continue to do better is because there's federal money available to continue to enhance the healthcare experience, to continue to expand networks, offer more services, build more rural healthcare capacity, and we're leaving it on the table. We are one of, you know, I think it's only four states left that haven't expanded their Medicaid program, and we're just getting left behind. You know, there's resources available to make healthcare cheaper, to make it more available, and, you know, now is our opportunity. I would say it's crucial. I work with people every day who have health insurance through our plan that's heavily subsidized, and they need more. They live in rural communities where there's not enough healthcare. They can't access appointments with the regularity that they need. Expanding Badger Care is going to help.
What is it about Jared Anderson as a candidate, and if elected, what do you see your skill level at in terms of going to Madison and making that happen?
I believe that government needs to be run by folks who want to work together. There is no such thing as a maverick in the assembly. This is a body of 99 folks that want to get together and want to do good for people. And if you want to stand off to the side and say, I refuse to work with certain groups of people, you're just simply not going to get anything done. My approach is to approach our progressive platform with an open mind and to say, we have a lot of things to get done. We're about to be in the majority in the assembly, but our margin is going to be razor thin. So how can we still develop policy in a way that allows us to work together? How can we take advice from the mayor, from the county executive, both of whom have endorsed my candidacy, and say, you know, what does Milwaukee need? How can you advise us to do what's best for the city? And how can I help you? This should be about collaboration. It should be about partnership. It should be about building coalitions and making sure that the Democratic caucus continues to be strong. And the reason I got into this race is because our current representative has not made friends. When lobbyists go to Madison on behalf of the city or the county or any Milwaukee interests, they skip door 19. And that's because our representative has closed himself off to anyone who doesn't agree with him. And that's just not how you govern.
It seems to me that just on the issue of the expansion of Badger Care, this is an issue that, look, it's not a red or blue issue or independent issue. This is a basic human right for everybody, whether you're rural or city. How do you see your attitude in terms of going to Madison, working with folks from that are Republicans?
Yeah.
And from the rural area on this issue?
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm excited to do that. I think that, you know, like I said earlier, you know, if Democrats take the assembly, take the majority in the assembly, we're going to have, it's going to be by a small margin, and we're going to have to reach across the aisle and say, what do we agree on? And how can we work together? I'll give you an example. There is a program where we can extend the amount of coverage, postpartum coverage for new mothers. Right now in Wisconsin, the only coverage that you get under Medicaid after you have a baby, it lasts for 60 days. And after that, you have to requalify, and the percentage of FPL that you have to be is higher. And that means that so many mothers who have just had babies are then cut off from their benefits. And that is the most crucial time for moms to have access to good health care and doctors and folks that can help them through that process. There was a bill last session that had bipartisan support. Plenty of Republicans wanted to sign on. This is important to everybody because it's about, you know, the care for the mom after babies are born. And we still weren't able to get it across the finish line. That means that we need to be less siloed. It means that we need to work together. It means that Robin Voss needs to be checked a little bit, because I think he was the one that put it in his pocket and walked away. But there are things that we can do that are going to enhance the healthcare, the prosperity, the safety and happiness of all of Wisconsin. We just need to be able to work together.
You know, in terms of talking about, you focus there on women health issues. Mm-hmm. How do you see the role of you in Madison on the issue of reproductive rights, enhancing women's health care, you know, that whole issue? What are the opportunities there?
The opportunities are great. And this is something that I take seriously, you know, as a healthcare attorney. You know, I'd be poised to be one of the subject matter experts on how we can deliver modern healthcare in a way that's affordable and efficient and effective for all of, you know, the folks here in Wisconsin. And I mean, on day one, and for a lot of people, this is a day one issue. That means repealing antiquated abortion laws that, you know, we call them trigger laws, but that have confused many about what the state of the law is here in Wisconsin. Of course, we've got, you know, court cases that tell us that we can still perform abortions legally here in Wisconsin, but we need to make sure that that statute is off the books so it's never threatened again. And I can help with that. This is an area of law that I know very well. Additionally, you know, the fact is, right now there's a lot of threat to things like, you know, established rights like contraception. And so as we develop a more liberal majority, or at least as we develop our ability to pass some of these more liberal policies, that means that we've also got to make sure that we are codifying a statutory right to contraception. We've got to make sure that we are expanding healthcare so that, you know, if folks are on BadgerCare or they're on the ACA plan, there is plenty of access to birth control or hygiene products or any number of things that right now are limited because there's no entitlement. We can protect that as long as we do it in a smart way that, as long as the policymaking is effective and pointed at a goal that is certain.
In terms of the issue of healthcare.
Yeah.
You know, we have the issue of Ascension, you know, in Milwaukee, but we also have the sort of the falling apart of Ascension up in the Eau Claire area.
Yeah.
And the loss of facilities. How do you see your role in that, in Madison, on addressing those issues?
Yeah, The fact is, there is a nursing shortage. There's a facility shortage. And healthcare, despite all of that, is still costing way too much.
I think that's, it's outrageous. Let's just talk about it. I mean, people really have a hard time, and they shouldn't have a hard time.
This should be, Mark, you're exactly right. It should be a right. You should be entitled to high quality healthcare at as little cost to you as possible, you know? And I'm a health nerd, I'm a wonk. And so I've done research on, you know, why we do it like this. You know, why is my employer fundamental to my ability to access the healthcare system? And it has everything to do going back, you know, to the early 1900s when there was a wage freeze. And for employers to compete for the better talent, they were offering soft benefits, right? And back then, when you were offering healthcare, it didn't mean much, right? Healthcare was not the sophisticated mega infrastructure that it is these days. This was still doctors that were carrying everything around in a bag, doing door visits.
So, Jared Anderson, candidate for the Wisconsin Assembly District's 19 seat. This is your Paul Revere show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson trying to move Wisconsin forward always. Hello, folks. Again, this is your Paul Revere show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM, Civic Media statewide, trying always to move Wisconsin forward. I'm honored and privileged to have Jared Anderson, a candidate for the Wisconsin Assembly seat 19.
Privilege is mine.
And let's touch on an issue that I checked out some of your campaign literature. You're out there right up front on the legalization of marijuana.
Yeah.
In my capacity as a lawyer, I do civil rights cases, and it's legal in Illinois, it's legal in Michigan, and it's legal in Minnesota, but we have, in Racine, the sheriff's department down there, we just resolved a civil rights case involving an 80-minute stop of a young black man just driving by. And it was all a ploy to get the dogs to come and sniff and then search.
Yep.
And here we are trying to put young black men in jail for marijuana that people are getting rich on selling in Illinois and going to prison in Wisconsin.
It's wild.
How can that still happen? This is like 2024, right?
Right.
I mean, you weren't born, but I remember being young and watching Woodstock, right? I mean, yeah. Everybody was smoking marijuana back then. Why is it that we're literally more than a half century later and we haven't moved a dime?
Isn't it crazy? I mean, there's a reason you mentioned my website. There's a reason that, the heading that my, legalization effort is under is modernizing our priorities on social issues. I mean, This is age old. This is not an issue anymore. And yet folks are still in jail and getting pulled over and serving time for a product that is legally sold in every state that surrounds us. What is the issue here? I cannot believe this is still a problem.
So, well, not only that, we're in an agricultural state.
Yes, exactly.
Why aren't we giving farmers or folks a chance to go make some money selling it, right? I mean,
yeah, so, not just some money, lots of money, Mark. Okay, I mean, okay.
Right? I'm just thinking you could just tax a little bit and we could give people health care, right?
Not only that, but we could pay for, the folks that were unlawfully kept because of alleged marijuana violations. You know, there's a lot of money there where we can focus on drug rehabilitation. We can focus on rehabilitating people who are subjected to human trafficking. I mean, that is money that doesn't exist before. And because we finally are able to kind of regulate this trade, that means that we can start to focus on some of the priorities that have, you know, some of the effects of actual hard drugs, right? Like those things.
So what is the Jared Anderson's face in Madison going to do differently on this issue?
That's a good question, because as you know, we haven't been able to move forward for a long time, despite the fact that people have been smoking weed since Woodstock.
Way before then. Okay.
Right, before then. But, you know, it's been the norm. You know, it's been accepted. The fact is, my advocacy is important, but the real game changer here is the fact that we've got new maps, and for the first time in 13 years, we're staring down the barrel of a real Democratic majority in the Assembly. And in two more years, we're talking about a real Democratic majority in the Senate. And that means that we can finally do some of these things that all liberals agree on, but it seems to be an issue that we cannot bring more Republicans over on. That said, I think that we can talk more about the business interest. I think we can talk more about what it means for our state's economy, what it means for jobs, for rural communities. I mean, this is a real boon for everyone, and we need to get over the social stigma that marijuana has.
I know there are a lot of other issues that you're running on, but you've talked about healthcare, women's mm-hmm. rights, the legalization. How do you see this moving voters in your campaign? How are you going about getting people out to vote, to get registered? Mm-hmm. And I know you're out there on the doors. Are you seeing movement?
Yeah, I have heard from many people that there is a hunger. There is a hunger for taking seriously the fact that we have this opportunity, we have this this advantage, right? We're about to enter a new year where we can do things finally. And there's some underlying energy behind that. There's also a frustration right now with the fact that the current representative has made no friends and seems to be ineffectual in Madison, because there's no willingness to collaborate or to work together, and he can't whip votes or sponsor bills. And so what I hear from folks is that we need to start helping Democrats. The 19th district is an important district, not only because we've got excellent real estate that we've got downtown and the lakefront and Summerfest, but we've got excited Democratic folks, donors that want to donate to races that are battlegrounds for us. We've got folks that want to volunteer. And because, you know, there was no chance of us ever getting in the majority before these new maps, that potential has gone largely untapped. And so what's moving voters to do stuff this year is understanding that not only do we have the opportunity, but we have the resources, and they're all right here on the 19th. And all we've got to do is show up and make sure that we keep on showing up all the way to November.
So I have to ask one thing.
Yeah.
And you got 30 seconds. What role, what role are young people going to play in keeping democracy alive in the United States and Wisconsin November?
I hope a larger and larger role every year. Right now, it's important. This district is home to two college campuses. These folks got to turn out. These are some of the best Democrats that I know, and I think that they're excited about this election.
Jared Anderson, thank you so much. Folks, this is the Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. Forward Wisconsin Forward. That's a great state motto. WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, Civic Media statewide. Thanks, folks.